This is dedicated to the Santa Ana, California School District Police Department. They made a little video about what to do in a school shooting. That's awesome. I should I tweeted it and I put it out on Facebook yesterday. So you can check the Almarine Radio tweet feed, or you can check us out on on Facebook, and I'll post it to the website today. But it's awesome. And if you have kids and you haven't talked to them about what they should do, you need to do that. You need to do that. You need to have that conversation with them, right? And the way I heard about it was Colleen starts texting me from school yesterday. She goes, "Dad, watch this video." I'm like, "Why? What is it?" It's about school shootings, and we're watching it today. We watched it today. And Colleen was fired up. She knew all the answers. That's right. You might have to fight. What do? Throw your desk, throw books, throw your book pack. If you're near the window, throw your desk through the window. Throw something through the window. Get out. Help your friends out. Fire extinguisher. If you're near that, grab it and blow it up. She's fired up. Good. She knew all the answers. So I'll post it. Yeah, it's good stuff. If you haven't showed it, if your kids haven't seen something like that, I would make a phone call to your school district, and I would go attend a meeting and say, "Hey, what are we doing here?" Because you know what? There's no excuse anymore, and money's not an excuse. If you don't have enough money, then you need to put your hand up, and you need to tell the state of California, "Hey, we don't have the money to implement this on our own. We need your help." And you need to say the same thing to the federal government. Federal government, I think, appropriated $50 million for school hardening. What is that? That's $1 million a state? Well, that'll go pretty far. All right? That'll go pretty far. So, yeah, this is dedicated to the Santa Ana School District Police Department for an awesome video that makes kids smarter on what to do. All right? What to do.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, There's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Sunny and 38 in Quantico. It is sunny and 43 at Camp Lejeune, so a little bit cooler weather on the East Coast. Clouds of 47 in Granbury, Texas. Sun at 25 in Montana. Grand Palms, warming up. Clouds, 59 degrees. Camp Pendleton, clouds at 58. Okinawa, clear dark. Weather warnings and 65 degrees. Marja continues to heat up. Clear, dark, and 73. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 59. Looking for rain showers in the afternoon today. On Wednesday, clouds in 63 with rain Wednesday night. Thursday, clouds in 62. What a joke. What an absolute joke. All right. So the weather's going to suck. All right, we'll check some news headlines right now. Marine Corps Times headlines. Guns out, suns out, delayed on several bases due to cold weather. The short sleeve Marine uniform in garrison that we all love because it looks macho and you're not walking around when it's hot with your sleeves down. Base commanders have discretion over that, so they'll adjust it when the weather gets warmer. So there you go. That's the bottom line. That's the lead story. That's the lead story of Marine Corps Times website. Okay, so what do we call that, everybody? A slow news day. All right, judge cites widespread failure of leadership at Parris Island officer sentencing. So we talked about this yesterday. The case for this lieutenant colonel by the name of Cassoon, Joshua Cassoon. The length of the schedule was shortened from over a week to one day, which indicated there would be a plea deal. The highest-ranking officer charged in connection with a string of recruit abuses that left one dead has pled guilty to three charges, will receive a reprimand, a reduction in pay by $1,000 a month for 5 months. A reprimand? That's what he pled guilty to? Lieutenant Colonel Joshua Cassoon, 48, pled guilty Monday to charges of dereliction of duty, making a false official statement, and conduct unbecoming an officer. Based on his pretrial agreement, he faced a max sentence of two-thirds reduction in pay for a year and a written reprimand. No rank reduction or prison time. Wow. I have to tell you, I'm stunned. A written reprimand. What is that? A punitive letter of caution? So he could have faced two-thirds reduction in pay for a year and a written reprimand based on his pretrial confinement. No reduction in rank or prison time if he pled guilty. Are you shitting me? So was the case that week that they couldn't prove what they charged and they settled on this? So what he got was a reprimand. He got $1,000 fine for 5 months. That's it. Gunny's in jail for 14 years and another recruit's dead. And you made false official statements. You know, let me just tell you, this is awesome for every commanding officer out there. Because guess what this means? You'll never be held accountable for anything. So congratulations. Congratulations to this guy. He skated. As his wife of 26 years, Nita, dabbed away tears, Kassoon read a statement at the end of his hearing Monday saying that he knew he'd made serious mistakes and was contrite, disappointed in himself, and must be held accountable. Bro, you didn't get held accountable. As part of his plea agreement, Kassoon has filed a retirement request. He could face retirement as a major should officials up to the Secretary of Navy determine the punishment is warranted. Good God, man. What a joke. So the regimental commander, he was given immunity. This guy gets nothing. He gets $1,000 a month fine. And a nasty letter and get told to retire. Whew. Wow, just dodged that bullet. The core part of Kassoon's dereliction of duty charge was that he failed to remove Gunnery Sergeant Joseph Felix from contact with recruits despite being told to do so by the regimental commander and the colonel's subordinates. Failure to disobey an order. And it goes on to document the recruit, but there's name Rafael Siddiqui, his struggle, Felix's abuse, yada yada yada. I know Kassoon's attorney, Colby Volkey. Maybe he's a good dude. Maybe he can explain it. Former Marine SJA. Though his client admitted guilt, Volkey pointed to a number of other commanders, both above Kassoon, who directed the investigation into Felix that had removed him from working with recruits, and below Kassoon, who were working directly with Felix leading up to Siddiqui's death. Siddiqui's death was not directly connected to any charge to Kassoon. Instead, it was past recruit abuse complaints against Felix and others that prompted a chain of events. Come on, man. So Cucinetta tells him to get Felix out of there. He doesn't. Cucinetta doesn't execute the sixth step in troop leading, which is making sure it gets done. And then something bad happens, and everybody stands there saying, it wasn't my fault. The reason this shit will continue to happen in the Marine Corps is because of shit like this. You want to send a message to the officers in the Marine Corps, the staff NCOs of the Marine Corps? Lay the wood to somebody. And unfortunately, it's this guy. And the same thing with Cucinetta, the regimental commander. That's your job, man. That is your job. I'm blown away by this shit. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. A couple other headlines. The Commandant wants to lighten the weight carried by grunts. Commandant's a smart guy, especially when it comes to grunts. And that flak jacket's got to get more sophisticated and it's got to weigh less. We talked about it yesterday. Military Times Sailor of the Year, his wife's some form of undocumented alien. So that's in the news today. Nothing new to report on the latest nude photo sharing site, but I will caveat that by saying it is much smaller than the previous ones. So, and again, the question is the Department of Defense doing enough? I have yet to hear back from two people that I've emailed to come on All Marine Radio whether they would like to. And I know one of them accepted my friend request or my, I don't know, whatever it is, you're going to be network buddies or whatever the hell it is on LinkedIn, but didn't respond to the email. Naval Academy midshipman busted for drug use. Yeah. For using cocaine, mushrooms, and other drugs. While five students were busted for that. Now, the bigger story there was that there was supposedly midshipmen at the Naval Academy selling that stuff. Why would you go to Navy and then do cocaine, mushrooms, and other drugs? I mean, to me, that's stupid. Why make that kind of commitment and investment in your future and then do that? I don't know. Okay, so Grant Newsham coming up right now. I'm speechless about the thing at Parris Island. Like, that's it? Wow. All of that. $1,000 fine for 5 months. A letter of reprimand. And you're out the door. Wow. Hey, no problem, man. Thanks. Let's see if we can get Grant Newsham on the blower.
Good morning.
Newsham, I screwed it up yesterday, so we're here live on the radio today, and I just have to tell you, I was like bad-mouthing you. I'm like, this is so unlike Newsham. Truth be told, I was screwed up yesterday. Grant said, I'm traveling Monday, how about Tuesday? But
it's not my fault.
My failed to adjust. All right, give us your thoughts. Well, first of all, breaking news this morning, Secretary of State is going to be Mike Pompeo. No secret, the president and Rex Tillerson didn't work well together. Tillerson assumed a smaller and smaller position on the international stage, it seemed, as the year went by. Any thoughts on that?
I was surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but. You know, it is what it is, and one recalls that Mr. Tillerson probably did refer in private, he thought, to Mr. Trump as a moron back in October, and that probably sealed his fate at some point. I liked Secretary Tillerson, just there's something about him that I liked. Kind of a surprise, kind of not a surprise, and a little bit disappointing in a way. Where I think he was poorly served is that he kind of came to town not knowing anybody. And thus he was not surrounded by really good people at the State Department in the sense of people who represented a change in the previous administration and previous administrations' sort of way of looking at foreign policy and how to do it. In short, he kind of had some Obama holdovers there that were more influential than they should have been. So, you know, say I just liked him. Sorry to see him go, but he was in a tough job, wasn't getting much help, I don't think. And we'll see how it goes. But an administration like Mr. Trump's, they do need to be a little careful about discarding people, not that they shouldn't sometimes, but also the way it's done. When it looks as if it's done impulsively, that creates an image that isn't a good one to have. So we'll see how it goes.
You're listening to All Warrior Radio on the All Warrior Radio. We will see.
You know, I would specifically note that there's a State Department official in line to as nominee for the principal official for East Asia Pacific matters named Susan Thornton. And if you dig up her recent testimony on Capitol Hill, you'll find a number of very troubling things about it, particularly as it suggests that she would continue or try to continue a policy of appeasement, as was done under the Obama administration, if she got the position. So perhaps Mr. Tillerson's departure will imperil her nomination. That, I would think, would be a good thing. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. Having said that, Mike Pompeo, probably not going to have, if you can get confirmed to be the director of the CIA, probably not going to have a whole lot of issues getting confirmed as the Secretary of State. Certainly, and I was impressed with Rex Tillerson, too. Obviously, his resume as a civilian, extremely impressive from the time he was a young man to running of, Exxon he ran, and acted as their emissary around the world. So to me, I like you, I was extremely impressed by Rex Tillerson. But Mike Pompeo, seems to be a solid guy. And every time I've seen him, in his capacity as director of the CIA, he seems to be spot on in terms of analysis and also the way he carries himself and presents himself, which I know isn't a great statistical, set to make a decision, but your thoughts on Mike Pompeo?
Oh, you know, I don't really know enough about him. He will need to come into the State Department very quickly, and he's going to need to bring some decent people with him or get them really quickly. Otherwise, he'll find the inertia and the foot dragging will hurt him. As for his performance out at the CIA, unless someone can show me a long list of people that he fired when he got there, I won't be as impressed as some other people.
Are you telling me I'm too easily impressed?
Maybe in this case. Okay. But it's not unique circumstances, but it is certainly particular circumstances for somebody who takes over out there, especially an outsider. One might consider the Teamsters Union, you know, which has been corrupt for years. And every now and then the feds send in somebody to clean it up, and like some honest prosecutor or whatever. He shows up and he has no idea how the thing works. And before long, he's been co-opted and thinks everything's fine, and it never changes. And this organization over in Langley's just string of failures suggests that they've been doing things wrong and that people are responsible for it. So really, unless a guy comes in and, as I say, fight with a flamethrower and fires people, it is not going to produce. That would just be my take on it. I remember one quote a fellow I respect from there told me once about their dealings with the Senate Armed Services Committee. And he used it, the expression was, well, you know, give them a little show and tell, tell them a few stories, and they'll think they're dealing with Mr. Bond himself. So that organization makes short work of a fellow like Mike Pompeo, even a well-intentioned, and there could be a lot worse than him. As I said, I don't see that he's really come in and righted things by getting rid of a bunch of people. And those things are sometimes done privately, but they do leak out. I'm not aware it's been done. So he's got an opportunity. We'll see how he does, but other than looking like the second coming of the Messiah compared to that Brennan fellow, I would be, you know, the jury's out on Mr. Pompeo, but he was certainly better by maybe a factor of a million times than his predecessor out there.
All right. To the subject that I brought you on to talk about, a lot of tremors around the world after the president accepted an offer to meet with the head of the North Korean. What do we call that?
Dictation?
Yeah, no. What do we call his little kingdom?
Boy.
There's a name for it.
Regime? Hello, no.
I'll think of it. I'll think of it. Yeah. But so your thoughts on the meeting? Good move? Bad move?
Oh, it's certainly an interesting one. You know, like when you have two chemicals, you sort of have some chemical you know is combustible, and you throw something in it just to see what happens. It's certainly interesting. And if it's something that's one thing to explore before either going to war, then I would say it's a good thing. But I would tend to be skeptical about this. I think if one considers the nature of that North Korean regime and their track record, I'd say it's hard to look at it as more than Charlie Brown and Lucy, where she's holding the football and this right. time he's going to get it. This is, as we've discussed before, just the nature of this regime is such that it's hard to see it voluntarily negotiating away its nuclear weapon and missile programs. And that is what we sort of think that the possibility now exists. You know, we tend to have this hope sort of come up within us that maybe this is the time. And it certainly is something that was unforeseen. That Mr. Trump agreeing to meet is unforeseeable, but was unforeseeable, I think, to most people. But to expect a good outcome, and by good outcome, I mean us getting North Korea to give up those programs, I think that's still a stretch. And also at this stage, so much remains to be done. We have to work out the details of this meeting, and how much is who's going to agree to what in advance? Is America going to be willing to make some concessions, or is North Korea going to offer something up? Where are they going to do it? It really remains to be seen just how this how things get in order so that we might think they will lead to something good. So I've really got my doubts about it, but in terms of just an event or a decision by Mr. Trump that sort of threw all sorts of people for a loop, this is definitely that. But to make something out of it, I have to be skeptical about it.
Okay, so let's assume that we're sitting small group with the president, we get this offer, and we're going to lay these positions on the table. So on the upside, to the positive, we'll take him at his word that he's interested in denuclearization. That's on the upside, okay? And maybe there is room for a deal there, okay? However, on the downside, there's the Lucy football drill. And so I think prudence dictates that we go down the Lucy football drill. What benefit to the United States comes from the Lucy football drill when Donald Trump walks out of the meeting and says he's not interested in it? I asked him point blank this. He said point blank this. He's not interested. There can be no deal. Okay. Does that simply get us closer to the United States calling for a blockade of North Korea? Does it get us closer to a conflict if the football move gets pulled and we're done with the sideways dancing for the next 18 months?
Oh, I think it probably does. This may be viewed as a necessary step to show that the U.S. has done everything it possibly can. And the one, does need to consider a couple things. And one is that that almost no matter what Mr. Trump says, he's going to be criticized for it, no matter what he does.
Right.
He was criticized, I think, for not having Mike Pence stand up at the Olympics. And then if Mike Pence had stood up, Trump would have been criticized for kowtowing to dictators. If he goes and comes out of a meeting with Mr. Kim, with Kim and says, well, there's more talking to be done, he's going to be accused of sort of taking the pressure off North Korea. If he says, well, we shouldn't go ahead, then he's going to be accused of having lost an opportunity to negotiate. So he's going to get criticized from somebody. We'll see. The one thing that it hasn't gotten much attention, and I noticed that there were some answers from the Korean embassy a couple of weeks ago that were not comforting, is that the North Korea is, of course, going to try to squeeze everything it can out of the United States, but it already has squeezed quite a lot out of the South Koreans, particularly in getting them to pay to come to the Olympics,
right,
some other aid. And there's a suspicion in some quarters that the South Koreans are already providing money and or other support to the North Korean regime, as they've done in the past. So one outcome of all of this is that although the initial agreement to talk may make the South Korean government administration happy, if it doesn't work out the way Mr. President Moon and his people want it to, it may actually lead to some estrangement between America and South Korea. And that's sometimes it's a hard thing to calculate, but that is something I would be concerned with, is that when all this is done, that the Americans and the South Koreans are not on as good terms as they were, say, before New Year's, when the whole idea of North Korea coming to the Olympics was raised by North Korea. It's always hard to say. And then there's, of course, domestic political considerations to keep in mind, that, there's can always be distractions for the Trump administration that take North Korea off the front burner. And then also in South Korea, one never knows, that, the Moon administration might for some reason or other have to sort of adjust its course as well. So it gets a little tricky to anticipate exactly how these will play out. But at the end of it, my guess is that we'll at least have done a necessary step to sort of explore the prospect of talking with North Korea. But an important thing is to ensure the Americans do not offer any concessions, and in fact that they ratchet up the pressure on North Korea while all this is going on. But if they do back off a bit just to try to create some goodwill, then I would suggest that puts the prospects of success at about zero.
Okay, so if we say, we can't control a lot of the turbulence around these discussions, okay, but what we can do is be focused on what's in America's interest, all right? And we have to come away from this with some sense of, is he serious about denuclearization? And I saw a piece, I don't even know where I saw it, but said that whoever did the piece said, look, Kim is not, he's not his father. He's Western educated. For God's sakes, he's a fan of Dennis Rodman, okay? He loves and enjoys Western culture. And the opportunity here is to cut some kind of a deal that breaks down some of the barriers in North Korea, and that this overture is rooted in he as a person and the way he wants to be seen. Do you see any credence in that? I mean, and that's coming from obviously somebody who's an optimist about this deal.
The short answer is no. And I don't want to sound too Pat Buchanan or Al Sharpton-esque. But no, this one obviously recalls when the Russians were changing leaders back in the, when was it, late, early 80s, regularly changing leaders. And a fellow named Yuri Andropov, the former head of the KGB, took over as the head of Russia, Soviet Union. And the Western commentariat and in the know class, they all pointed out that Andropov liked Scotch whiskey and he liked jazz music. And therefore, he was really was an okay guy who was going to change things. He was the guy to do it. And nobody remembered that or wanted to remember that he was the former head of the KGB, you know, for goodness sakes. So we've seen this effort to point at some sort of monsters, sort of liking for a few Western things, their exposure to the West that demonstrates that they are actually closet reformers, that they really don't want to be homicidal maniacs, but they just want to be normal people, and with a little love, their good side will come out. That's what it reminds me of with Kim. Once again, the fact he grew up in Switzerland, whereas it's surprising he was allowed to grow up, unfortunately. But he was allowed to, that really doesn't demonstrate, to my way of thinking, a liking for the West at all or any desire to reform. I think most of the, many of the Al-Qaeda guys on, did 9/11 spent a lot of time in the U.S. and other Al-Qaeda leaders did too. And it all just seems to create a certain amount of contempt, if anything. I don't see where the hard evidence is that it creates any sort of willingness to behave better on the part of these people. And with Kim, he still, rules over a regime that would rival the Khmer Rouge in terms of horribleness. And he did have his half-brother or step-brother murdered in Kuala Lumpur. I've got two brothers, and I've never been inclined to do that to either of my brothers. It does tend to tell you something about a person and about a regime. I see this as that is a pretty thin argument to make by the people who make it, and I know that crowd that you're talking about, and they'll once this one comes to nothing, I think they'll tend to blame it on something the U.S. administration did, or just ignore it and hope everybody else does too, as they usually do.
All right. So on the backside of this meeting, get out your crystal ball and tell me, where do you think it leaves the United States vis-a-vis South Korea, and the United States and South Korea vis-a-vis North Korea? I think that the South Koreans have gone out of their way when this was announced to say that, hey, there's no sanctions coming off. The military exercises will continue. They seem to have gone out of their way to massage this thing. And that may be because they have leanings the other way. So I keep hearing now protest too much when I hear them going out of their way to saying, hey, we're not doing anything to help. I think, why do you go out of your way to say that so loudly? And where does it leave us relative to those two parties at the end of that?
I think you've characterized South Korea, the South Korean administration, correctly. We've seen this before. I always think that it'll leave us having lost about a year in terms of applying needed pressure to North Korea, but as importantly, applying needed pressure to China. So I look at this mostly as lost time, lost momentum. And in that period, the North Koreans will have advanced their technology and their capabilities. Do keep in mind that before this recent series of tests, starting I think in around 2016-17, they took a break, and they've taken multi-year breaks between actual missile and nuclear tests, and then they come along with a flurry of them. So they're still doing their homework. It's not as if these engineers and scientists are told just to go home and, watch TV. But they're hard at work figuring out what it is they need to do. And also they're covertly keeping up the effort. But I think you've correctly sort of characterized, I think, the South Korean regime. Or excuse me, administration. It's not a regime. It's administration.
Thank you.
So one might disagree with some of their positions, but I think I think it's going to leave us not liking the South Koreans very much.
Yeah.
And so I think that's maybe the big thing: lost time and some distance between America and the South Koreans. And I don't think the South Koreans quite understand just how, what do you call it, fragile U.S. support or public support for South Korea can be. The automatic wisdom or goodness in America fighting and dying on behalf of South Korea is not as apparent as it was some years back when you still had more of a memory of the Korean War, both on both the U.S. side and the South Korean side. And it is possible that if somehow there's a collective sense in the United States that South Koreans are viewed as ingrates, that this would help, this would further the sort of friction or a split or some distance between us and the South Koreans. So I think if we're just on hold, basically we'll watch this play out and have lost a lot of momentum. And we'll look on our South Korean friends as lesser friends possibly. And then we'll try to start anew. And I reckon it'll take at least a year for all this to play out, however.
So you don't so coming out of there, do you see subsequent meetings, or do you see? To me, that's the most intriguing thing is will the president be direct and will walk away with some sense of, is there a deal to be struck here, or is were his responses to very blunt questions about what he's prepared to do? Were they sufficient enough to warrant another meeting? And so you think it'll take a year to play out?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if it did. You know, maybe a little less. But, you know, one never quite knows. You know, it could be that Mr. Trump comes in and, you know, is, very bluntly says, will you do what I want, what we need you to do? He says no. And he comes out of it and says, well, I tried.
Right.
And he tweets out, I tried, and now we're going to really play hardball. Or he could decide that it looks better to sort of at least create the illusion of success, with success being that we've agreed to talk some more and we think there's grounds for reaching some sort of agreement. I never quite knows, you know, and I don't know which of those sort of two options it will be. I really have actually no idea. I know which one I wish it would be, but
right.
I just don't know how this administration will play it. It will play out. I think if it was another administration, certainly the previous one, I think that we could pretty much predict that this will simply lead to more talks, and then that will lead to more talks, and then at some point our side will realize that it's been rolled and it's getting nowhere, and then it will just ignore North Korea. And we saw this played out a couple times with the Obama administration and the Bush administration too. But this one, I just don't know how it's going to be. I think I could have predicted almost any other administration's response, but this one, I don't know.
All right. All right, sir. First of all, I apologize for my own confusion yesterday, and always enjoy the visit, Grant. Where does life find you today? What part of the world are you in?
I'm just in Hawaii. So when you called, I was over the Pacific somewhere. I would have picked it up if it rough.
Well, that's what I said. It struck me like normally this doesn't happen, but it
didn't.
But it didn't occur to me that I was wrong. And call that my failing memory as I age. So be gentle with your criticism.
That's all right. I usually have a guilty conscience, so I would naturally assume it was my fault. But
and normally I do the same, but I didn't. I thought, well, why isn't he answering? Anyway. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Pleasure. Anytime.
You bet. That is Grant Newsham here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back. Yeah, that was Chris Berman. When we come back, Chris Woodbridge from the Marine Corps Gazette is going to join us, and you will hear from him. So, about this month's issue of the Gazette and some other things that I'm going to ask Woody about that he has no idea. So, Don't touch that dial. More of Wolverine Radio coming up next, Tuesday edition, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.